The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 14, verses 15, 24. Please turn to page 120 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and inviting many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Amen. When the Israelites were about to enter Canaan, Moses prayed to God. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 25, "Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon." At the thought of the children of Israel entering the land of Canaan with his successor, Moses was filled with joy. So Moses expressed his wish to God. He wanted to cross over to Canaan with them. But after the Exodus, the Israelites complained to Moses. "There is no water." God told Moses to command the rock to produce water. But instead, Moses himself struck the rock twice to produce water. After this, God allowed water for the Israelites. But God told Moses, "He shall not lead this congregation into the promised land." But facing the land of Canaan in front of him, he wanted to join his successors and cross the Jordan, even though God had already told him he wouldn't be able to enter the promised land. A long time ago, I saw a play that well depicted this passage. Moses pleaded with God, "God, how can you do this to me? Other than that one time, have I ever disobeyed you? I lived up to your command. I proceeded as you commanded. I encamped you as you commanded. For the last 40 years, my life was not my own. In my life, there was only you, not me. I lived only for you and you only. But now I'm old and you have forsaken me right when we're about to enter the land of Canaan. Please permit me to enter the promised land of milk and honey." Moses was desperate. his brother Aaron, who was next to him, also pleaded, God, I misled the children of Israel and made a golden calf with them. Even if I can't enter Canaan, please let my brother enter. But God was firm and said, That's enough. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. What God was planning was not just the land of Canaan, but from the gospel that originated from Canaan, God would make the whole world a promised land. After realizing God's plan, Moses responded, O Lord, even though no one remembers me, please remember me. That alone is sufficient. That's how the play ended. Though Moses so desperately wanted to enter the promised land, in number 32, we also see people who say they wouldn't cross over to the promised land. After crossing the Jordan River, they'll enter God's promised land of Canaan, where they will share the land as God had promised. All of that will be initiated by crossing the Jordan first. But the Reubenites and the Gadites said they wouldn't cross over. Why? Numbers chapter 32, verses 1 says, The Reubenites and Gadites, who had very large herds and flocks, saw the lands of Yazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. The land of Yazer and Gilead were located between Jordan and its tributaries Jarmuk, Jabbok, and Arnon. The region is known for its quality cows and sheep and grain exports. With their eyes set on the fertile lands, what the Reubenites and Gadites faced was their own greed. In other words, the only reason why they chose East Jordan was for prosperity. They owned cattle and the best land for them. To them, their material possessions were more important than God's promise. Their own creation of Canaan was more important than the Canaan, God's promise. Moses was furious. 40 years ago, when 12 men were sent to investigate Canaan, 10 of them advised against entering Canaan. The first generation of Exodus wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, not being able to enter Canaan. And here they were, yet again. At that time, the Reubenites and Gadites said, As long as you provide us with a home for our tribes and the livestock, we'll fight at the forefront until the day we conquer Canaan. We'll never ask for any land on the west side of the Jordan, they promised. Half the tribes of Manasseh also joined them in the same request, so Moses honored their request. So what happened to these tribes? Leaving their families on the east of Jordan, the men of Reubenites, Gadites, and Manasseh did fight until Canaan was fully conquered. At the forefront of the war, they probably were the first to witness the Jordan split. 40 years ago, it was the Red Sea that split, but these men weren't yet born. However, during the harvest season, the Jordan River normally overflows deep and wide because of melting snow from the Mount Hermon and late rain. witnessing the river drying up in an instant, they would have been thrilled to witness God's miracle. In Jericho Castle, all they did was to circle around the castle 13 times without lifting a knife or a bow, and the castle came down in 1 week. They also witnessed Achan sin against God and die. Though they conquered the Jericho castle without a fight, but after that they had to fight, winning victory after victory, it was a mystery to them. They had been enslaved for 400 years. For 40 years, they simply repeated the process of marching and stopping along the pillars of cloud and fire, defeating 31 kings on their path. Without God's constant presence, it would have been impossible. The regret this man must have felt, those who have already decided on the land on the east of Jordan, none of their family got to witness God's miracles. If their children witnessed all this, it would have been perfect lessons for their children on God's constant presence and grace. These two tribes and have risked their lives just like the other tribes. So upon returning to their land, they built a large altar on the hill of Jordan. The rumor traveled to the land of Canaan. Those in Canaan were determined to remove the altar, and it looked like a war was imminent between the two. At that time, the tabernacle of God was in Shiloh, which meant Shiloh was the one and only place for worship. Another altar meant idolatry. Not only that, they all knew very well that if one tribe sins, all the tribes would be punished together. Before waging a war, however, the tribes in Canaan decided to send out a group of men to investigate. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and 10 representatives from each tribe. They said, "This is not just a random altar. We want our children to serve God. Now we know each other very well, but after many years, in case when your descendants don't recognize our descendants, we want this altar to be the evidence. We built this altar to show that we are the same people who serve the same God." Their desperation is so palpable. Together, they were slaves for 400 years. Together, they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. They fought every war together. But those two tribes and half didn't enter Canaan for their hasty decision. They thought they made the best choice, but in the end, it was the worst possible choice. These tribes slowly faded into history. And the land they occupied now became Jordan in Syria. Today's passage also shows people were making the best choice, but in fact were making the worst choice. Jesus was invited to a Pharisee leader's house on the Sabbath, where he healed a man with abnormal swelling of his body. The experts in the law and the Pharisees who saw it whispered gossips with each other in words of condemnation, but Jesus made them quiet, referring to the Sabbath exceptions. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the place of honor at the table, He said it was wise to take the lowest place. He also said to the host, it's more rewarding to invite the poor and the crippled who can't invite him back than inviting relatives and rich neighbors. Here, a person interjected and said, verses 15, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. As far as the feast goes, a wedding probably tops most feasts. Wedding these days might feel like a chore. Wedding or not, we have plenty to eat these days. So wedding feasts might not feel so special anymore. In the old days, however, the wedding really was a special occasion. When there was a wedding ceremony for a neighbor or relative, it gave people a chance to break from their daily labor and connect with those they have lost touch. The same was true for the Jews. The wedding normally lasted for 1 week. So great was the joy that the Jews compared wedding feast to that of the kingdom of feast. The person who interjected in verse 15 intended to say, the feast now is turning into a rather unpleasant event, but in the kingdom of God we'll probably have a good time. So Jesus told them a parable. Verse 16, Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Although the text says a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests, a similar passage is also found in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. This parable is not just a wedding feast, but heaven. It's expressed in terms of wedding feast on who came and who didn't. But the parable shows who are embracing the kingdom of God and who aren't. Verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. During Jesus' time, the wedding invitation was sent out twice. First, the host set a date, with no specific time set at this time, and sent servants to the potential guest, inquiring them if they could attend. When the number of guests was roughly set, the host prepared the food according to the number of guests. The second invitation is on the day of the feast. As soon as the food is prepared, the host informs the guest. Today's passage is showing the second invitation of the host. The host thought the initial guests would attend the feast because they had agreed to attend on their first invitation. To invite us to us to the kingdom, God has prepared everything. He even prepared a feast by sending His only begotten Son to die on the cross on our behalf. This feast refers to the kingdom of God, where we breathe our last breath to finally meet God. It also refers to all communities where we declare God as the Father and Jesus Christ as the Master. In other words, our Sunday worship, Bible study, early morning prayer, and many other gatherings are all feasts given by God. Also, the family that God has allowed us in the house of feast is the house of feast. If we confess Jesus Christ as our master, our workplace is also banquet. We've been all invited to God's feast. We're also the messengers who inform those invited by God. That's why God let us enjoy God's feast and God's abundance, not only after our death, but also in the present. But many people live impoverished without God's enrichment. Why? It's because people reject God's invitation. Today's passage shows three types of excuses for rejecting God's invitation. Verse 18 shows the first excuse, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." The first person says he can't come because of a new field he had bought, that is, for economic reasons. When buying new land or a building, close inspection is a must to avoid a scam. Checking out the surroundings and soil quality are all very important. For buildings, people check out the building materials and constructions. All this is done before making the purchase. So to say you can't come to the feast because of new field is like saying, "I have enough to live on. I don't need to depend on anyone. I'm much more interested in this land than in God and the kingdom." But because the first person bought a field, there is all the more reason he should attend the feast. People think their material possessions will protect them. But we know that's not true. In fact, the opposite is often true. So many couples who would have otherwise stayed faithful go out on the wrong path simply because they have too much. What about children? Too much focus on material possession often ruins their lives too. Verse 19 shows the second excuse. Another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to dry them out. Please excuse me." The second person can't come because he bought 5 yoke of oxen, which is 10 cows, meaning because of work, family, studies, and so on. The first person was more apologetic. The first person used the excuse, communicating the sentiment that, "Although I'm reluctant, but and I must go and see. Which meant the first person was still in his house. Although the second person did say, please excuse me, his tone was more disrespectful. He was already on his way out to attend his business. He had no intention of attending the feast. When encouraging people to come to church, many people can be dismissive, saying things like, I'm already busy enough. Jesus doesn't feed me. What church? But they are not saying that because they are desperate for food if they don't work right at this second. They are saying that because their hearts toward God is firmly shut. The second person bought 10 cows. He's rich. Even these days, not many farmers can afford 10 cows at once. At that time, it must have been even harder. Nevertheless, he wanted more. Us Christians must work hard. God has entrusted it to each of us. We have to work harder and better than those without faith. But the work and profits themselves never protect us. What we have been given is God's grace that allows us to continue living here and now to experience God's mysterious touch. Verse 20 tells us the third excuse. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The third person says he can't come because he just got married. Perhaps the three most important events in a person's life are birth, marriage, and death. The times of birth and death can be chosen. Of all the events that are up to our free wills, marriage is one of the most important events. No wonder why it's called 일륜지대사, literally meaning the biggest event in a person's life. Unlike the first two, the third person is taking for granted that he won't attend the feast. He doesn't even say, please excuse me. Though he does say, I can't come, it's almost as if he's saying, I'm not coming. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5 says, if a man has recently married, he must not be sent to war or have any other duty laid on him. For 1 year, he is to be free to stay at home and bring happiness to the wife he has married. In Israel, a man could defer his military duty for 1 year if he got married. So the third person is assuming, if I can defer the army for 1 year, why not the feast? Do you have any idea why these men could defer the army for 1 year? Being newly married, it's because they have to deal with the war at home first. It's supposed to be funny. But we all know marriage takes a lot of work, especially without our complete trust and submission to God. Right after the wedding, everything looks and feels amazing through the rose-colored glass. But the rose-colored glass eventually comes off in a matter of a few months or years. There's lots of work to be done before the rose-colored glass comes off, but no one tries. So many people marry the person they can't imagine living without. But over the years, their sentiment changes. Now they say, I can't live because of him or her. Building a solid family is without our sense, is impossible without our sense of awe to God. Because God created humans and marriage. Our text today testifies to the fate of those who refuse the invitation by their master God. Verse 24, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. No one will get a taste of his banquet. In other words, heaven. But the important thing is that none of them refused the invitation to do evil. They thought they were making the best choice. But in the end, it was the worst. There is a path God intended for each of us. But we also have our own plans. If our plans are the same as God's plans, no problem. But what if they're not compatible? That's why we must always reflect on our own thoughts against God's word. Good faith means to place God's word over my thoughts or my plans. Because not only can God's plan differ from our own, God's ways are always superior to our own, just as heaven is higher than the earth. In other words, the gap between God's thoughts and our own plan is as vast as the distance between heaven and earth. Being built together in Jesus Christ means to fully accept his plans. God has given us great feast in the church, at home, and work. At the feast, bless those who don't make excuses against God's invitation. Bless those who fully submit to God's command. And bless everyone during the Chuseok holiday to accept the feast as God's feast with the loved ones and their families. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Israelites were simply busy complaining without realizing they'll eventually escape from the 400-year slavery from Egypt. But God didn't forget the promise with Abraham and sent Moses to free them. God also gave them manna to truly make them God's people. God created water from the rock, and God led them to pillars of cloud and fire. God also nurtured them through the words of the law. However, the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the Manasseh descendants did not enter God's promised land of Canaan by deciding on their own, which land they would settle in with a desire to keep their possessions. Their choices seemed like the best choice at the time, but it was the worst possible choice, and they regretted for generations to come. May we never create and choose our own Canaan. Lead us to follow the path created by you and you only. Let your words guide us through our path. We also thank you for opening the great feast of church, home, and work. In those feasts, let us be the grateful children of God, obeying your every word, for the path of God is higher than ours. Let us never make the mistake of thinking we can protect our field, our family, with our own strength. And let us obey God's calling every day, every moment. Guide us and our family to obey God's word during this Chuseok holiday. Please let us experience Chuseok as God's great feast. Let us pray with tears for the salvation of our family. Please remember God's children who hope for your help. Let Chuseok be not just Korea's national holiday, but also a feast of faith.